Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Doing a final wrap-up of the running back tiers here. I interspersed a couple of pods in between them just because it was topical timely, I guess. But I wanted to hit this just because I there's a little bit of strategy component here too, and then there's some specific thoughts that I have about some of the players in here. So one of the things over the past, I would say maybe a year to two, that I've been thinking about is at this point in the season, it's kind of tough to get running backs right outside of the really well entrenched backup guys. So what do I mean by that? You know, you're looking at Pollard, Madison, Dylan, for example, and the list isn't that big. For example, Kareem Hunt would typically be in that list, but he's a potential cap casualty. Gus Edwards coming off an injury. Trey Sermon, how do we think about him? Like, the list of guys that we feel really good about, it's basically guys that are in the top 30, top 35, and they're injury away guys, right? Outside of that, you start going down and you feel less confident. And so one of the things that I would sort of be really cautious about is if it's okay to be in the high end HHG tier, right? So your Pollards, your Madisons, your Hunt, your Dillons, right? Subject to cost, right? Subject to the other things of, who are you taking? You know, are you taking them over a potential elite tight end, that sort of thing, you know, a quarterback spot, right? Obviously, you have to make those decisions, but that's an okay tier to sort of operate in at this point in the season. Where you want to be careful is some of the second tier stuff, right? And so I'll highlight some of those here in a minute, but I do think you want to be cautious, right? You need to be a little bit, you can make cheaper bets and I think accomplish similar type of exposures, which is really what you're looking to do. And when you go back and you look at it, guys like Gio a couple years ago, heck, Darrell Williams last year, heck, Darrell Williams 2 years ago, Devontae Booker last year, right? You start looking at these guys and they're going outside the top 70, top 80 of running backs. They're going, outside the 20th round, right? You start looking at these things and you're thinking, now let's make some of those cheap bets now and not necessarily get caught up in the, where you could maybe spend and add a decent wide receiver in the 12th round, right, as compared to taking a shot on, Khalil Herbert. I'm just using an example. Or a tight end in that spot. Like, wait 10 rounds and take, Kenny Ngakoue, or take a shot deeper. If it's Jamal Williams, D'Ernest Johnson, right? Like, those types of guys, right? Just take them later. That's very much what I would say to do. So I do think that, and it's cost, right? It's cost, and there's a ton of uncertainty, right? So make sure that the non-core assets, right, the partial contributing guys, as you sort of get into that range, you want to make sure that they're being cautious on all those. So that would sort of be the thought that I would have there. So just the general piece, either go early or be very, don't get caught at the contributing level of some of these other players, right? Some of these other positions, guys that can be good, and where you're just taking sort of injury away shots on running backs. So that's something that it's not probably a huge pool of guys you're going to want to take. But that might be like a Davis Mills type, or that might be a tight end shot, right? That might be a situational receiver, right? An aging wide receiver that's falling, right? Those types of bets, I think, can be a little bit better than taking shots on like Khalil Herbert at like running back 40, for example. So those are sort of the situations that I would potentially look for. All right, so the higher end tiers of the HHG, so you got Pollard, you got Madison, you got Hunt, Dylan, Stevenson, Gus Edwards, and Trey Sermon. If you sound a little skeptical at the end, right, I'm not sure where that Trey Sermon situation is going to fall. I'm still taking a shot on him in terms of where he's I'm not just giving him away, right? I'm not going to spend a first-round rookie pick on him at this point. I'm not going to give him away. But when you start looking at, where he falls, right? I think he's an interesting, maybe things just got off to a wrong start type of situation. So that would be something that I would, I'm open to. I'm not just going to, shell out, just totally bail on him. If he's somewhere in the middle of like the second round of rookie pick valuations, I think that's interesting. I especially maybe this year, right? That would be an interesting spot. If you want to take the liquidity on a future pick, I don't necessarily hate that. But he's going behind guys that are, he's going behind Khalil Herbert, going behind Chuba Hubbard, the like there. Like, those might totally be appropriate. In terms of security, I would probably just rather take the cheap pick. Like, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Whereas you could maybe take a shot on, you could take, like, for example, Keep Trade Cut has Matt Ryan behind a guy like Chuba Hubbard, right? I'd rather take the shot on a guy like Matt Ryan, right? Or take the shot on, a guy like Corey Davis in that range, right? Those are the types of guys. And then just say, all right, I'll take, instead of taking Khalil Herbert, I'll take Sermon a little bit later, right? Those are the types of things that I would be thinking about doing. Hunter Henry, right? You're getting contributing players sort of in that range. I think that's probably a less good range for running backs than it necessarily is later on. So just make sure to emphasize that. So again, Pollard, I have no problem with Pollard at his cost. I think he's a little bit pricey, but I think sort of in this range, like, he qualifies certainly. I'd probably rather take a shot on Madison than necessarily Pollard, because I think they're very similar types of bets, and it's a couple rounds cheaper. So that would sort of be the thought there. But again, I don't mind sort of being in that range. You just sort of have to understand the range that you're doing in that range, right? You're taking more of a variance play. And if you want to sort of combine that with some, I think this year in particular, I'm excited to get into a startup draft once NFL is fully rolled over, because you're going to get a shot on guys that are good players, right? Maybe a Kamara, or heck, even a Barkley or a Zeke, or some of these guys like later in the later teens into the 20s of the running back position. And you're going to be able to get, they're going to be a really good baseline player for you. And then you can definitely turbocharge that with some of these higher variance guys. I think this is a really interesting year to potentially attack our strategy, because you're going to get guys. A lot of it is a high variance strategy as it is. But I think actually this year is going to really raise the floor in terms of where the running backs are. So, those are situations. Again, but the interesting part is Pollard basically butts right up against that. And he's basically the most expensive of these guys. It depends on how you think about Dylan. Dylan's probably just ahead of him in terms of you could actually play him from a week-to-week basis, where I don't think you feel super confident doing that with Pollard. That kind of explains the difference. But I think it's an interesting sort of range to look at. Again, I'd be sensitive on taking some of these backup guys ahead of guys that are actually starters, right? You have to sort of make that. Taking Pollard ahead of Zeke is nonsensical to me, right? And I think that there's people that would do that. So just sort of be careful on that. But I kind of like that tier. Again, Gus Edwards, I feel less confident with him. He might even fall into the next tier. But what you'll see is, as you start getting down further and a little bit less confidence, Jamal Williams is at 50. Right? This would be kind of be the second tier, maybe a little bit cloudy situations. Jamal Williams could be a potential cut guy. They've got enough guys there that were decent last year. I'm not sure sort of what their angle is. Daryl Henderson. I didn't include Sonny Michel on the list because he's a free agent, but Daryl Henderson's at 38. I'd probably rather take the shot on Jamal Williams at 50. Heck, Kenyon Drake's at 59. I think that's a really interesting one. He's behind Zach Moss, who's kind of proven that he can't play very good. Chuba Hubbard's at 41. I'd rather sort of wait and take a speculative shot on Jamal Williams, or maybe Kenyon Drake, or some of these guys further down, that I would want to take Chuba Hubbard at 41, for example, right? Heck, Chuba Hubbard's going ahead of Gus Edwards, right? He's going ahead of some of these other guys that you just look at and you say, there's no need to do that. That's kind of what I'm trying to caution you against in this. So then you look down to some of the super deep guys, the deeper guys. These are guys generally outside the top. 50. Oh, two other names to mention here. Herbert's at 39. Again, he's in that kind of fade zone, right? I don't really want to be in on low pedigree guys that are are in the top 40, right? I think that's probably a good way to put it. Same with Kenny Gainwell. He's right around there as well, 37, right? Those are kind of avoid situations for me. Just because I don't think they're that durable, and why sort of spend that type of asset on them. Okay, so Tony Jones, Kenny Ngannou, deeper bets here, 72 for Tony Jones at keep trade cut, 64 for Kenny Ngannou. Eno Benjamin's at 56. That seems a little rich because I don't think he's going to get a shot, whereas I think he could actually get a backup shot at a Tony Jones and Ngannou. Samaje Perine, 74. I like that. DJ Dallas, 70. Roundtree, 73. Dearness Johnson's at 49. I'd rather take a shot on Dearness Johnson at 49 than take a shot, you know, 10, 15 spots higher on Khalil Herbert, for example. Lesser bets as well. And this is an interesting, like, if you just want to sort of go in and just, again, this is what we talk about, right? This is why I think it's a really key to be sensitive to the price that you're paying, because there's going to be options later. Mark Andrews, 101, or sorry, Mark Ingram, 101, 101 overall at running back, right? Mike Davis, 91 overall. Booker, 83 overall. Latavius Murray, 102. Right. Burkhead's at 10. Burkhead's at in that early hundreds range as well. I think he's at 103, and he's tentatively the starting running back in Houston. Right, so I sort of look at those, like, take shots there. Right, take shots there instead of taking shots on Herbert or taking shots on Eno Benjamin, sort of at their cost. Like, take deeper shots. Right, what you're trying to do is expose yourself to all the same forces at a cheaper cost. Right, you're basically doing an arbitrage. I mean, take a shot on a guy like Booker. Take a shot on a guy like Rex Burkhead down there. Even maybe Mike Davis, although he might get caught, you know. But you're taking a essentially a riskless, a no-cost bet, right? If he gets cut, it doesn't cost you anything outside the top 20 rounds. So those are sort of, those would sort of be the things that I would look at and be sensitive to it. You know, we like these guys, but really remember the bet is to like them in volume. If there's certain guys that we will like specifically, but the key is to be in volume. And at this point, we don't have a great sense of a lot of these situations. If a free agent signs in Carolina, right? If they draft somebody, Chuba Hubbard goes bust, and right, we should have known from the get-go that there wasn't a ton of security on his pedigree, right? So those would sort of be the things that I would say. Again, he's good, but there's no sense in paying a top 42 running back price for him, would sort of be my thought at this point. So those would be all things that I'd be looking at, considering, right, when you're going through your drafts or when you're doing trades and the like, you know. And can you arb these guys down? I don't know if there's a huge February market for Chuba Hubbard, but, like, if I can sort of spot that in a trade, in a bigger part of a trade, that'd be something that I would try and pull off, right? Do these sorts of things. Hey, can you really turn a trade, can you, as part of a bigger package, right, can you functionally get, Chuba Hubbard in a third for, someone later in a second, right, or something like that? Or can you get, can you sort of make that similar type of, or for Jamal Williams in a second, right? Can you do something like that, right? Or can you even go deeper, right? Can you make it, what's the functional equivalent of Chuba Hubbard for, Rex Burkhead in a second, right? Because you're not going to necessarily maybe just offer that, but if it's part of a bigger deal, as you're sort of going back through and, you're sending trade offers and the like, you sort of craft that around, that's a really good return, right? And you're making a very similar bet, but you're bearing it. If you just go and send that straight up, no one's probably going to do it. But if you do that as part of a bigger deal and sort of bury it, obfuscate it a little bit, that's a good opportunity for you to potentially cash out. So those would be some things that I'd be looking to do. Again, I think volume is key. I don't necessarily think you have to have volume in February, right? So, typically I want to roll in season with, 2 to 3 to 1 running backs to wide receivers, right? Really get on the pushing the envelope there. It's not like that's gettable, right? Devontae Booker was gettable all along. Tony Jones, we could have got, and it didn't end up really working out that great. But you ultimately see a lot of these guys, Breida we were in on, right? We kept kind of cycling through these guys. Heck, Darrell Williams was free almost all offseason last year, right? Khalil Herbert was basically free. And you just sort of look at these guys, and that will repeat itself this year in just different forms. We might not know now who it's going to be, but those will happen. And so you don't necessarily need to be super locked in. You can treat kind of up your board, up your roster a little bit. You know, if you're looking at like that middle third, for example, you can treat that a little bit more dynasty-ish right now with the idea of, hey, you know, maybe I can trade guys out of this range, or I can do, you know, I can make investments here that might be longer term bets, that really the ultimate play is not to see out the long bet, but to try and trade, you know, between now and the season, right? You're trying to make those deals in, or you're trying to get an uptick guy, or you're trying to eat innings at wide receiver, like there. And then, you know, the back third of your roster can really be some of those running back bets. That would be more of my focus now. And as you sort of get in and you, that middle third, you'll whittle that down to really, any contributing players and the like there as the season goes along, as the off season goes along towards the season. And then you can sort of use some of that space for your running backs as well. So just sort of, it's a little bit of a tactical shift in terms of how aggressive you sort of want to get into, that you want to get into all of those running backs. You don't necessarily need to do it now, and it can be a losing proposition because there might not be a huge market on the other side. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this edition. I hope that helps clarify a little bit of a strategic point that I've been working on. So until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.